Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19th, 1999.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, the great shaky American Southwest, I bid you all good evening and or good morning wherever you may be across this great land of ours. I'm Art Bell, and it's great to be here. We're going to be talking about ghosts here in a little while with Lori Jacobson as we get closer to that day. All Hallows. Halloween. It's sneaking up on us. And by the way, toward that end, folks, I've made a decision. Next Monday night, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be doing live radio next Monday night. Because toward the end of the week, I'll be taking off for the Grand Hotel in Mackinac, on Mackinac Island, Michigan. So I'm going to work an extra day on Monday, and we're going to do a ghost-to-ghost show Monday next. You're going to want to be here for that. They're classic. They're always classic, and they're always scary, and they're very real. And the reason they're very real, and the reason they reach out and touch you and grab you and twist you is because there are ghosts out there. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Anyway, I wanted to let you know, Ghost to Ghost, next Monday night. Nothing but ghost stories, and from all of you at that. In fact, in the next couple of days, I'm going to be devoting a large amount of time to open lines, just because I kind of feel like it. And then next week, we're going to have kind of an interesting lineup, as I said, Ghost to Ghost on Monday night. And that'll be followed on Tuesday by Uri Geller. We've never had Uri Geller on the show before. Looking forward to that. And then Wednesday night, Thursday next week, we're going to have Stuart Wild on. And we've been setting this one up for a long time. Stuart Wild authored a book by the same name of the book I authored, called The Quickening, and his was, of course, prior to mine. I think you'll be very interested in Stuart Wild. So all of that is going on, and a lot more. This week, there's no telling what's going to happen. I may book a guest in the next couple of days. I may not book any guests at all. Just kind of depends on how the mood strikes right now. I haven't booked any guests yet. Sometimes you feel like a guest, sometimes you don't. Tonight I do. Tonight I feel like Lori Jacobson. And we're going to be talking about the ghosts of Hollywood. Otherwise, as you probably heard last hour, if you heard the last hour, we had a hell of an earthquake here. I mean, we just really rocked here. It was a frightening earthquake, a big earthquake. And if you look at where I'm located on the map in Pahrump, Nevada, you will see why it was as strongly felt here as it was. My wife and I, Ramona and myself, were both awake at 2:46 in the morning. And the earthquake began, which, as you know, was centered in the desert, not far from me. Actually, the story about which fault line and which quake and whether it was an aftershock, which I thought was silly, or whatever. It's all changing. We're going to get the latest from Jim Berkeland here in a moment. But the earthquake began, and I thought two things during the earthquake. One, I wondered if we were going to survive it. It was so bad here, where I am, and it's a small community, relatively, Pahrump, Nevada. You'll find it on the map about 65 miles west of Las Vegas. And things were going back and forth so severely, it was like ocean waves, absolutely like ocean waves, rippling. And if I'd been outside, you could have seen the ground moving in waves. It was horrible. It went on for about, I estimated, 40 seconds. I came on the air at 3:10 a.m. and interrupted my own replay and gave the report, which turned out to be accurate. I said I believe it was a 7 or a 7.1. And I gave the location, or the rough location. But again, going back to the moment or the seconds or the almost 1 minute of the earthquake, I thought two things. One, first, am I going to survive this? It appears to be getting worse and it's not stopping. my wife and I just went into the other room in the bathroom trying to get away. I've got a 100-foot tower up here. You know, you don't want 3,000 pounds of steel coming down on your head. And so I thought, are we going to survive it? And we just hugged. Went into the other room and just hugged and wrote it out. And then I had a second thought during the earthquake. And it was, if this earthquake is coming from a great distance, like Los Angeles, for example, then a lot of people are dying right now, and Los Angeles is virtually disintegrating now. Those were my two thoughts. One, first, would we survive it ourselves, not knowing where it was? And secondly, could it be the big one? And if it is the big one, and if it is in Los Angeles, it's the end of a lot of people, and it scared the... Well, I said what pilots say just prior to augering in. And you know what that is. New hurricane. Hurricane Jose is headed, unfortunately, for the French island of Martinique in the Caribbean. It'll pass there overnight. Stockpiling water and food is going on right now. They're on alert in Puerto Rico, where it could strike by Thursday. Forecasters are saying they don't know yet whether this hurricane might threaten the U.S. East Coast. The way things have been going recently, I certainly would think there's a strong possibility that it would impact the East Coast. So I guess you don't have to get ready officially yet, but I'd be thinking real hard about it if I were you, and congratulations, Atlanta! My God, what a game that was tonight. I don't know whether you saw it or not, but Atlanta, of course, is going to the World Series. And it was done on a bases-loaded walk in extra innings, and the score was 10-9. And it really was quite a game. So congratulations, Atlanta. The World Series between Atlanta and New York really ought to be something to behold. And so I guess we all get to behold it next week. All right, coming up in a moment, Lori Jacobson. I've got more information that I've got to kind of drop on you as the night goes on, but prepare to be haunted.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night, but you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
What we're going to be talking about tonight are ghosts, most specifically Hollywood ghosts. Ghosts, I guess, that you would know would be another way to put it. Aside from those in the immediate family or a stranger, we're going to be talking about ghosts in Hollywood because that's the research that Lori Jacobson has done. Actually, she's done a lot more than that, but she's concentrated basically, I think, on what has occurred in Hollywood. And it's funny, you might expect somehow that if hauntings are real and ghosts are real, and I believe them to be, then Hollywood would be filled with them. Is that a fair conclusion to make, Laurie?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Stick around for very human reasons, and so many of the people who lived in Hollywood sought fame, never-ending, eternal, and they have it.
But isn't there a possibility that it, really what they have is eternal hell? I mean, we'll get deeply into this, I'm sure, but to have your spirit trapped in some horrid little repetitive thing here on Earth, as we know some ghosts seem to be, would seem more like hell than anything else to me.
Yes, I suppose to us, but you know, for some of them, for example, there are security guards, ghostly security guards at the studios that continue to walk their beat. They protected that studio for 40 years. They loved it. Maybe they met their wife there. Maybe they brought their kids to work in there. Back in the old days, it was a family place, and
yes,
you worked there your whole life.
Yes. Oh, how it's changed, huh?
Yes, boy, it sure has.
But you're right. It was that way. And yet, I guess I would ask, then why would somebody be back walking the work beat and not with his wife and family in the afterlife?
There are a lot of reasons. First, they might not know they're dead. Some people don't believe that there is anything after we die. And...
Well, how about the fact that they walk among the living, but the living don't seem to hear them or react to them? This should give them a small hint. If they maintain the same kind of consciousness after death that we imagine, in other words, if we still realize self after death, if we survive that with our consciousness in some sort of tact, then they have to eventually know they're dead.
Yes, it can often be very puzzling, very confusing. There are spirits around them trying to help them cross over to make the transition, but they don't see them because they don't believe in ghosts. It's a catch-22. So some, you know, sometimes they're reached, sometimes they're helped, and sometimes, yes, it is an eternal hell.
Huh. You believe in heaven and hell? I mean, the Bible, heaven and hell.
The classic concept?
Yeah.
Clouds and harps and wings?
Well, I don't know about clouds and harps. But I always liked the wing idea. I wasn't opposed to that. But clouds and harps, that's boring. Flying, that'd be all right. But clouds and harps, no. No, but, you know, the general, yeah, the biblical heaven and hell, fire and brimstone down there, good place up there.
I don't know. I think that we get sent back down to Earth.
Reincarnation.
Mm-hmm. If we didn't get it right, or we have some things to work out, we get sent back down, and I think that's kind of hell. Once is really feels like enough for me.
Yeah, I have sympathy with that particular view. I'm not saying I'm not enjoying life, because there are many things in life I enjoy, but baby, it's a rough ride.
Yeah.
It's a rough ride, and it's no picnic down here, and I guess since Adam got tossed out, if you believe in all that sort of stuff, it's not meant to be. Well, it's not. It's a rough ride down here, and but you don't necessarily, though, still, you don't, what do you think happens to us when we finally, in effect, graduate? If you think we come back and back and again and again and again, something I sort of lean toward myself, eventually we don't come back. And then what?
I think that we get sort of high-level jobs.
High-level jobs. Get bumped upstairs.
And we help other people, other spirits, in those positions.
You ever hear of the Peter Principle?
I have.
Have you really? Eventually, people are promoted beyond their ability to perform. Inevitably, promoted beyond their ability to perform. I suppose that doesn't apply there. So high-level jobs. In other words, you become, in effect, a spirit guide, or I guess we think of them as spirit guides, right?
Sure. Yes, a spirit guide or a crossover spirit, a spirit who is there to help you make the transition. An example of this might be, do you recall Jay Sebring?
Yes.
He was killed at Sharon Tate's house mm-hmm. by the Manson family.
Yes.
And he was an internationally acclaimed men's hairdresser. Before Jay Sebring, there were just barbers. He invented this incredible concept and was spectacularly successful in Hollywood and would have been worldwide had he lived. His ex-wife was very close to him, and three times after his death, he came to her in dreams. The first time, desperately sad. The second time, he was worried about her being able to support herself, and he taught her his technique to cut hair. She simply could wake up the next morning and do it. Mm. And the third time, he was with Sharon Tate, mm-hmm. and they were very happy, and she felt at ease seeing them now so peaceful and happy. And Jay was dressed all in white, and he was in a room that was all white, and what looked like rows and rows of computers and machines. And this was 20 years ago, this dream. So it was before we had a computer in every household. Mm-hmm. But it was a very modern-looking room, and he seemed to be in control of all the people in the room, teaching them whatever they were doing. And she thought, that's so Jay. He was so ahead of his time. And she felt that he'd gotten one of those higher-level gigs.
Higher-level gigs. That sounds like somebody from Hollywood, all right. Higher-level gig. So then there is a place, or there is, I don't know if you call it a place, there is a place, for lack of a better word, where ultimately you do reside after you have, in effect, graduated from Earth.
I mean, she really felt he'd been...
Yeah.
He was excited about what he was doing. He was creative. He was...
Okay, what is that place? If it isn't heaven, what is that place?
Well, that's his heaven. That was a very specific heaven for that man.
Well, then, were the students that he was teaching real, the machines that were around, were all of those real, or were they part of the creation that was his reward?
That's a great question.
What's your best guess? In other words, I guess the bottom line is that a real thing that happens to you after you die and graduate and don't come back anymore, or... I guess reality is a kind of a strange concept anyway. It certainly would be real to him, so it wouldn't really matter one way or the other, would it?
No. And I would only be guessing now to say, was that real, wasn't that real? I guess we'll all find out. But it's nice to know that, there are emotions beyond this life.
I saw a recent Mysteries and Scandals on the E! Channel about the Tate murders, Tate LaBianca murders, and Sharon Tate was begging not to be killed and was killed in the most gruesome way you can imagine when she was pregnant, of course, as we all know. And I would have imagined if anybody would have been, chained to the earth or unable to properly proceed, at a time when you're looking forward to birth and renewal and you're pregnant and you're so happy to be pregnant and you're murdered in such a horrible way, what can that, that must have a traumatic, horrible effect on your spirit, on your soul.
Yes, and I would imagine that she probably lingered earthbound for some time, confused and upset and wondering exactly which direction to go. But, you know, there was a, I'm sure there was a spirit of her child, too. So she was...
That's a whole separate topic, spirit of her child. You're right. Hold on. We'll be right back. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. Lori Jacobson, author of Hollywood Haunted, is my guest. What do you think? Is that a real place, folks? A very real place when you graduate? First time or last time that you go to? Or your dream?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Strange world desire, make foolish people do. I never dreamed that I'd meet somebody like you. And I never dreamed that I'd lose somebody like you. No, I don't want to fall in love. No.
To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Do you know who you're listening to right now? Her name is Lorena McKinnon. Lorena McKinnon. She is a Canadian singer and probably the best, along with Gordon Lightfoot. You know, I interviewed Gordon here not long ago. But Lorena McKinnon is very special to me, and her music is very special to me. And I was actually talking to Gordon Lightfoot a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned Lorena McKinnon, and he said, well, you know, she kind of dropped out. She was there, and then she was gone. And I reflected on that a little bit, and I said, you know, you're right. We haven't heard much from Lorena McKinnon lately. And I got a fax from her office today, which is kind of interesting and tragic, and I had no idea. Canadian singer Lorena McKinnon, whose songs have helped popularize Celtic music, is donating the proceeds of her new album to a fund to promote water safety following the drowning of her fiancé last year. McKinnon's double CD, Live in Paris and Toronto, was originally available only by mail from her Quinlan Road Company, but now it's going to be released commercially next month. So we've all got some more Lorena McKinnon to look forward to. And again, it's a double CD called Live in Paris and Toronto, which is, I guess, what she does. Not a bad life, all in all. And that's the news on Lorena McKinnon, and I had no idea. She lost her fiancé in a drowning accident, and That is the thing of which ghosts are made. And her music, when you listen to it, has that kind of flair to it. I don't know exactly, sort of... ethereal, sort of, at times haunting, at times Egyptian, Celtic. That's Lorena McKennitt. And that's why we haven't heard from Lorena McKennitt for a while. One other sad announcement for you. Radio broadcasting legend Gene Shepherd, a ham operator, K2ORS, died October 16th. He was 78. News reports say he died in a hospital near his home in Florida. One of the original radio talkers, Shepherd gained a loyal following of overnight listeners during his more than two-decade tenure at the powerful WOR in New York, my competition in New York City, in the 1950s and 60s and early 70s. Gene Shepherd dead at 78. I'm so sorry to hear that. As a matter of fact, speaking of New York, as I always do, I try as best I can to follow the ratings now that we're on so many radio stations across the country. But the ratings for New York just came out today, and once again, this program number one in New York City. Number one in New York City, the Big Apple. As a matter of fact, the numbers actually went up, so that was really good news. But reflecting on a, not really a competitor station and somebody who was there for a very long time, doing essentially the kind of thing that I do, if not a specific topic material, certainly the same time of night. Dead at 78, I'll be lucky to make it to that far myself. All right, we're going to get back to Laurie Jacobson in just a moment. Stay right where you are.
Coast to Coast AM. It's way out there.
These groups of extraterrestrials that are unfriendly, many of which are hiding down there at the bottom of the ocean, why don't they want us to know about this?
We've lost people in wars with UFOs. You know, we spend a lot of time honoring our heroes, and we have heroes that we don't know about. It's disturbing to that extent because we have a debt to people who've defended us, and we'll never know who they are.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com. Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Hi, Laurie.
Hi.
Do you think, Laurie, that the people who don't believe in reincarnation, the people who don't believe in God, the devil, afterlife, or anything else, they just believe it's the big black veil descending. Nothing. that they get what they believe in?
No.
So, in other words, there are rules, so to speak.
Well, you know, they believe that there is nothing, but there is something.
Well, what a terrible surprise it must be for them then.
Yes, for some of them it is.
Or a good surprise, bad surprise, hard to tell. Some of them are probably saying, sheesh, I knew I was dying. I actually had come to terms with it. What the hell is this?
Yes. Why can I still hear and see and not be seen? It can be a very frustrating thing. It happens to a lot of children who don't understand about death, who haven't even reached, you know, an age where their parents explained.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about the children that hadn't, and we were beginning to touch on them, hadn't even experienced life yet, the ones who haven't even talked yet? What can possibly occur to them?
Well, you know, I heard a story. A woman had a near-death experience. I think she died on the operating table, and she was brought back to life.
Yes.
But while she was, quote, dead, end quote, she saw her mother, she saw her grandmother, she saw all these people who had passed on, and there was this adolescent who looked at her and said, "What are you doing here?" And instinctively, she knew it was a child she hadn't had yet.
Ooh.
And sent her rushing back to that table. So that was kind of an odd story. And we were talking about Sharon Tate and the fact that she was murdered when she was 8.5 months pregnant. I mean, that child, It for all intents and purposes was living at 8.5 months. He could have been born. I mean, he was fully formed, and so I believe his spirit also was fully formed.
Well, there are great arguments that rage about that, of course, but I would tend to agree with you. I don't know when a spirit is inculcated into a child in the womb, but I think sometime prior to that. I mean, that's a spirit that never experiences the world beyond the womb. And what can we know about its fate?
I don't know. You know, they say you choose. They say you choose your parents.
You choose.
So,
boy, imagine what the prior life of that child must have been like to be choosing Sharon Tate. Anyway, Hollywood, for some reason, appears to be just filled with ghosts, and some obviously ones that we all know of, like Lucille Ball, for example. And I watched Lucy, I love Lucy, for years and years and years, and you're telling me that her spirit was seen?
Her spirit was seen. Now, I don't think she's, hopelessly haunting the earth in search of more laughs or anything like that. As I said, spirits stick around for very human reasons.
Yes.
Several years after she died, her husband, Gary Morton, sold the house that Lucy had lived in. Mm. He and Lucy had lived in for 35 years, and the new owners tore it down to build a more grand.
Yeah, that's what we do here in Las Vegas. We tear everything down.
It gets
a year or two old, it gets torn down.
And I must say, the whole neighborhood gathered around to watch it. I mean, it was a landmark. Everyone knew where Lucy lived.
Of course.
You could always see Lucy pulling out of her house, or the kids, and so it was a sad thing. And one of Lucy's friends was driving by, and he saw this house half torn down. You could see inside to some of the rooms where this man had been visiting Lucy. You could see the wallpaper, and he was so startled. He pulled over to the side of the road, and he looked at the house, and peripherally, he saw a tall, thin woman walking along the perimeter of the property, also looking at the devastation. And he noticed that she was a redhead, and when she turned around, it was Lucy.
It was Lucy.
And he said she looked very melancholy, sad, confused, what's happening to my home. Lucy loved to be in control, and clearly she was not in control. Mm-hmm. It was a sad moment. Spirits do not like remodeling. So this was, you know, devastating. A home that she had loved.
In other words, spirits don't want to see things changed from when they left.
Yes. And they often do not recognize remodeling. So when you see spirits walking through a wall, well, either that wall wasn't there or it was the original door.
Ah. That's very interesting. In other words, a spirit in the place of residence at death would probably not walk through walls. It would probably walk as it had walked in life.
Yes. I talked to many people who saw ghosts from the knees up or ghosts with no feet.
Oh, you're right. As a matter of fact, I've got some pictures on my website, one that really freaked me out, of a lady with, from about the knees down, nothing. She was in midair.
Mm-hmm. Well, we figured out that most of these spirits are walking on the original floors. It sounds like this particular ghost was higher up than the floor. But if you see a ghost walking, well,
she was at. In other words, if there had been legs and feet there beyond the knees, it would have been. She was at exactly the right altitude, just that they were missing.
Hmm. Well, I understand it. It's very difficult sometimes to materialize 100%. Which is often why spirits come to you in dreams. It's easier on them.
But occasionally they do materialize. Occasionally they seem to be even caught on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I've got some pictures up on your website.
Yeah, I know you do. What do you have up there?
And I'd love for some of your listeners to take a look at it and tell me what they think it is.
Oh, they will, believe me.
A friend lives in a house in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
There are some very negative people living in the house with her, and she feels a tremendous negative energy in and around the house.
Right.
She was snapping an Instamatic-type camera just at rooms at will, and when she developed the film, these bizarre, sort of honeycomb-like white spirals appeared in the room. One of them was pushing down on her cat. One was traveling through the room. And the one thing in the room the one thing in the house that had any religious connotation was a calendar that had a picture of Mary and the baby Jesus on it.
Uh-huh.
And this bizarre figure clamped on to that calendar. It had eyes, a little head. It was very weird. We looked it up in a book. We found a drawing exactly like this white translucent image attached to the calendar, and it said it was a 13th century Bohemian demon.
Lori, are you you're on a portable phone?
Yes.
And it sounds just fine, but say good and close to your bass for us.
Okay.
Because it's going whoosh, whoosh, little
I'm
bit.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. They tend to do that.
I pace when I talk.
I understand. I'm looking now at some of these images, and they appear to be sort of, how do you describe, folks? You're going to have to go look for yourself. I'm looking at the cat, for example, right now. And there is something, obviously, pushing. I guess it looks like it's pushing down on that cat. Actually, pushing down on the cat.
Yeah, you can see the cat cowering underneath it.
Yeah.
These things were not visible to the naked eye. she thought she was just taking a picture of her cat.
There's a picture of me, Laurie, just like that. Have you seen it on my website?
I have not.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
I did a program with a woman named Harlot, a Satan worshiper, Laurie.
Mm.
Her name was Harlot. This was one scary, scary lady.
Mm.
She, toward the end of the program, said, I've ensured that my child, my son, is going to hell with me. She took steps to ensure her son would go to hell with her. I mean, this was one scary lady.
Yeah.
And we were doing a reflective program on this, you know, a short while later. And at the exact moment that I began talking about it, like I'm talking about it right now, I've got a webcam that for years now has been sitting here snapping photographs of me. Every minute, it'll snap one photograph and it goes up to the website. All of a sudden, there's a shot on the website that you flat wouldn't believe. Do you have a computer available to you tonight?
Yes.
You do, huh?
Uh-huh.
So you've got an extra line, you get online.
Uh-huh.
Keith, if you're out there listening, would you take that shot of me, please, and put it in the on the front page so Laurie can find it? I've got this shot that I want you to see, Laurie. You're just not going to believe it. I've had literally, I guess by now, hundreds of thousands of photographs taken by these webcams, and I've never had one like this. And it was during the exact instant that I was discussing this lady, this girl named Harlot, who was going to take her child to hell with her. She was a scary lady, you know, hail Satan, the whole thing.
And what, do I have to wait to see the picture? Are you going to tell me what was...
Well, listen, before we get back on the air, you know, we're coming up to a break right now. And
okay.
Before we get back on the air, I will call and encourage Keith to get it up. He's probably already working on it. And I want your opinion on it. So you go during the break, get on my website and stay there. And when you get back, I will direct you to it because I want you to look at it. All right?
Okay.
All right. Stay right there. We're gonna pause here at the top of the hour. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
In my arms, and know the magic of her charms, cause I want girl to call my own. I want a dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone.
Network presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
We're talking about ghosts. Laurie Jacobson is here. And my photograph, my ghost photograph, is on the web right now. We'll tell you all about it.
Lonely baby, go home.
What about endless lonely days and nights without your woman? That might cause your spirit to twist a time or two, huh? Good morning. It's great to be here. We've got a lot to do. Lori Jacobson is here, and as promised, Keith, of course, is very quick on the switch. And in addition to the ghost photographs that Lori Jacobson has provided, which you can see on my website now, just go to www.artbell.com and scroll down to the name Lori Jacobson, and you will see, among others, the photograph of this spirit, or whatever it is, depressing on a cat. But you will also see a photograph, actually a couple of them, of me, taken, let's see, it was 1:26:21 in the morning, 01:26:21, which is an interesting time by itself. It reads the same going both ways. 01:26:21. 1:26:21. And if you read it backwards, it's 1:26:21. It was taken on the 12th of December of 97. And Lori asked, when she did see it during the break, and she asked me an obvious question, were you smoking? Well, actually, I smoke a lot, but, and I was not at that moment smoking, but it doesn't matter. You've got to remember that I've been taking these photographs one every minute, or 45 seconds more likely, for years now. Years. So that probably goes to hundreds of thousands of photographs. And there has never been another one like this taken of me while I'm sitting here smoking. So that one doesn't work. Nothing even close. Nothing even vaguely close. Nothing. And so take a good look at it. It's one of the links under Lori's name. And you'll get, and people said, well, you've got white hair. And so we had to actually put another photograph up to prove to people that I don't have white hair. I mean, clearly, toward the front part of my head, the frontal lobe area, you will see something gathered about me. There's no question about it. So, take a look at that. See what you think. At that very instant, I was talking with a guest about Harlot, the Satan worshiper, and about her son, who she was going to take to hell with her, she said, and she had insured it, she said. And at that very instant, this photograph was snapped and got saved. And it has never, ever been explained, nor is it now explained. So you will see that under the links with the pictures that Lori Jacobson has provided for tonight's show. Lori Jacobson, by the way, is a friend and worked with Dr. Barry Taff. And I know that you all remember, or you should, Dr. Barry Taff, who worked on some very special stuff that Lori will tell you about. Anyway, we will continue with all of this in a moment, but for those of you that had never seen that 1997 picture, it definitely, definitely is one to puzzle about.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Coast to Coast AM. It's way out there.
These groups of extraterrestrials that are unfriendly, many of which are hiding down there at the bottom of the ocean. Why don't they want us to know about this?
We've lost people in wars with UFOs. You know, we spend a lot of time honoring our heroes, and we have heroes that we don't know about. It's disturbing to that extent because we have a debt to people who've defended us, and we'll never know who they are.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Actually, at that exact moment, 126.21, I was actually listening to a replay of the audio of Harlot talking about her son going to hell. And it was, without question, I think the darkest show that I've ever done. Really the darkest, and the most, in a lot of ways, difficult to do, because she was unrelenting, absolutely unrelenting, a Satanist, a real Satanist. And it scared me. It scared the you-know-what out of me. So, Lori, welcome back. You just got a brief glimpse of it during the newscast, and as I was telling you, I've been smoking for all the years I've been on the radio, and for several years now, taking webcam shots, and never, ever, ever, ever has one come out like this before or since.
Well, I ask that for your listeners who haven't gone to their computers. It truly looked like there was a big puff of smoke above your head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's thick and undeniable.
Oh, yeah.
And as you are telling us, you were deeply disturbed.
Deeply disturbed, yes.
By this conversation.
Yep.
If you go so far as to say it was your darkest show ever, I have to know that you were very deeply disturbed.
I was.
And, you know, we all have spirits watching over us, and you really needed one then. More strongly than ever, I think. And somebody was there for you.
I wonder. So was that an outside force, or was that from within? All I know is it's real. You know, I don't fake things, and I just don't. That's a real photograph for whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It's either external or internal. It came from within me. Or it was from without. I take it from what you just said, you feel it came from out without.
Yes, I feel it was a protective spirit that's probably always with you, and you're just not aware of it. But if ever you had a time of need, that was it. Your darkest show ever.
Oh, it's true. I mean, you know. She said what she said. We did the whole night, and we talked about Satanism and all the rest of it, and we were toward the end of the interview, and she was talking about taking her son to hell with her, and it stopped me in my tracks. It stopped me cold. She said, I have taken steps to see to it that he will be in hell with me.
Mm.
And it just stopped me in my tracks. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. It was one of those moments in talk radio when you just, you get stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And I got stopped. And that was that moment. So, you know, whatever that is, it's real and it's something. I personally don't know if it's some guiding spirit or protective spirit for me, or if my brain was just freaking out and producing something the camera caught. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But after looking at your photographs, I thought I would offer this one up for you and everybody else to look at back in 97.
It was great. Thank you. And thank you, Keith, for working in
Keith is really, really good at this kind of stuff. So, why is it, Lori, that some manifestations like this one that you're seeing, or the ones you brought forth and offered, can be caught by a camera, sometimes not seen by the human eye, but caught by a camera? You know, as I reflect on it, I have no mirror here. I have no way of knowing whether, had I been able to actually see my head, I would have seen that or not, whether it would have been visible to me or not, but yet the camera caught it.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
Great question. You know, if we knew the answers, then we could capture these images on film all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the psychics I worked with said it was like tuning in a radio, and sometimes you can get the station clearly, and sometimes you can't.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what night vision equipment is, Lori?
Yes.
You do? Okay. I have a extremely well-to-do friend named Bob Bigelow, Robert Bigelow, in Las Vegas, and he purchased a ranch at a place we don't disclose here on the air, where all kinds of really weird things have been going on and had been going on for years. And because Bob has the means and the ability, he just literally went and purchased the ranch and set up cameras and all kinds of sophisticated recording equipment and all the rest of it to try and figure out what was going on the ranch. During one incident, somebody looking through a night vision, a third generation night vision piece of equipment, actually saw a kind of a, in midair, saw a hole, or a kind of a, see how to describe it, a hole for him, I guess, in literally in midair, and saw something come through it, and saw the hole close back up again.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, wow.
And what happened to the thing that came through it? Lost sight of it?
Lost sight of it, it just disappeared.
Mm.
But something opened, it came through the center of it, and it just, then the whole thing vaporized. But they saw that. And a number of other things happened that were recorded on cameras that were completely impossible. Absolutely impossible. I mean, they had cameras on large poles hundreds of feet away from each other, one focused toward the other. And the wires were cut halfway up the pole. All the tape was taken off. And they went back on the timestamps, one camera looking at the other, and there was absolutely nothing to be seen.
Hmm.
The damage was done while the camera was running, and it didn't show up at all on the camera. But this tremendous damage was done. All the tape was ripped off, the wires were cut, blah, 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 all the rest of it. Second camera was looking right at this and didn't see it happen.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, yeah. So I'm wondering if these kinds of manifestations are in the same arena with ghosts. Are we dealing with dimensions of people? In other words, when you die, do you go to, in essence, what we think of as another dimension? And then occasionally, is there an interaction between this world and that world?
Oh, another dimension. I don't know. I have heard only a little bit about openings. The Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, one room that was the original library in the hotel, seems to be the entryway for the spirits that pass through. It's where they come through and go then throughout the rest of the hotel. And I have heard of people using Ouija boards and trying to make contact with something and literally opening a hole, like by making the contact day after day. And I have been told you shouldn't do that because you don't know what will come through that hole.
You believe that to be true?
I had some scary experiences with the Ouija board, and I won't use one again.
Same here.
I know, do you remember the singer Phoebe Snow?
Yes.
She also had some very bizarre experiences.
Like what?
She and her husband and another couple got into using the Ouija board, loved it. They were really having fun, and they used it quite a bit during the summer. And suddenly, you know, her phone started ringing at 2 or 3 in the morning, and no one was ever there. But when somebody started tapping at her second-story bedroom window, she decided to quit playing with the Ouija board.
Uh-huh.
She was very scared.
Yeah, well, that's too much of a door opening for me, thank you.
Yes.
Way too much.
No, we don't. What do we know? We're infants, I think, in this area.
How did you meet Dr. Taff, Barry Taff?
When I began the research for my book, Hollywood Haunted, every book I read on ghosts talked about Barry Taff.
Yes.
And I found him, and we just got along right away, and he agreed to come out to many of these locations with me. He was really fascinated.
Oh,
he also got to see a side of old Hollywood that he wasn't privy to. going into some of the old studios and some wonderful old homes and nightclubs and restaurants and theaters and places he had not ever been before.
Hmm.
We walked into the Hollywood Palace. It's a nightclub now. And he was so excited to be there, had never been there, was no sooner in the place when he grabbed my arm and said, I can't breathe. Something's choking me. I have to leave here.
Yeah.
And off he went, vowing never to return.
Well,
you know, what was that?
I don't know. A lot of people don't know that there was really a basis to the... There was a very, very scary movie called The Entity. And there really was a basis to that movie. A real-life basis to that movie, wasn't there? And Dr. Taft knows, participated in a lot of that, didn't he?
Yes, he was the main investigator on the Entity case. He's investigated thousands of cases. And we had some fascinating experiences.
Yeah, well, I was about to ask if you knew of any other cases where a person is literally attacked by a spirit. It's not exactly common, is it?
No, it really isn't. Not a violent attack. That is rare. It happens. Some people mistake... things being, well, like you were describing, wires being cut and tape being ripped off. I mean, that sounds violent, but it may be actions just done to frighten you away, where a spirit has no intention of hurting you.
Yeah, well, it would work for me.
Yes, it would work for me, too.
I mean, you can imagine damage, but you can't imagine damage when you can actually go back to when the damage occurred and watch a camera that was had a close-up look of where it should be occurring, and it's not caught by camera. The exact opposite. You know, this damage is actually in real life done. Tremendous. I mean, it would have taken one person probably an hour, you know, to climb this thing and to do all this damage. And the other camera was focused right on it and never saw a thing happen. That's kind of the opposite of what we were talking about a little while ago.
Yes. That is just wild. Well, the first time I saw a ghost, and I have quotes around the saw, it made something move in front of me, and there was nothing there, and it was perfectly obvious that a ghost was in my presence.
What did you see exactly?
I was at the famous Grauman's Chinese Theater early one morning with about five other historians. We were getting a tour of the theater. And I was allowed to go backstage behind the movie screen. There was at one time a very large backstage area, and live actors would entertain before the films in the 20s. So I went back there. It was all storage now, nothing exciting. I climbed down off the stage. I joined my friends in the middle of the auditorium, and without speaking, all of us were compelled to turn back toward the stage. And something standing on the stage, a person standing on the stage, had grasped the floor-to-ceiling velvet drape. We could see the impressions that 10 fingers were making in the velvet. We could see that edge of the curtain, and only that edge, had been lifted up off the floor and was being shaken very angrily.
Angrily?
I got a lot of anger. I felt like somebody was saying, you invaded my territory and I don't like it. There were no doors or windows back there. It was not blowing in the breeze. And I set a new land speed record.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, I would have done the same thing. New land speed record. Goodbye. Feet, take me out of here.
You know, and for weeks I tried to talk myself out of
what
anger that I felt.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, what else could a spirit have done to let me know that it was present? You know, anything it would have done would have frightened me.
But that was more than enough, right?
But, you know, I found out much later that it was the spirit of a man named Fritz.
All right, hold it right there, Laura.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me. And I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstores sell. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. You won't read that book again because the ending's just too hard to take. Like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way strip. Enter number two. A movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Do you recall the last time Gordon Michael Scallion was on my show? He said, Art, I think that events toward the end of 1999, October or November, are going to bring me back on your program. Because I had asked him, when do you think you'll be on next? He said, well, events will bring me on in October or November. He writes to me facts that just came in. Art, CNN is now reporting that Mount Etna is acting up again. How about Gordon Michael Scallion? Good thought. Events, earthquakes, volcanoes, the ones he's talked about, a large earthquake in the southwestern part of the U.S. Yeah, might be time for Gordon Michael Scallion. We'll be right back with Lori Jacobson.
Now, we take you back to the past on Art Bell Somewhere in Time.
Once again, Lori Jacobson, and actually, what my comment, I said, oh, people in Hollywood, they don't have egos, do they? So we'll sort of touch on that. But the spirit that you were encountering, what was it named again?
Oh, here I was hoping for Sid Grauman, but instead I got Fritz, a former employee. But I found out that Fritz was a very sad man, and he hung himself in the theater, and guess where?
Where?
Behind the movie screen.
Oh.
So I learned in my research that even though I tried to explain away having been afraid of him, I learned that you really need to go with your first instinct. Mm-hmm. And I sensed I invaded somebody's space and they were angry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't just arbitrarily pick it. Thought to kill yourself in a public place, it's very well thought out. That's his spot. Nobody goes back there now. So what was I doing there?
I don't know, but I guess you didn't go back, huh?
No. That was enough.
Laurie, I was sort of joking about the commercial I just had on, but, you know, actors and people who perform, they have egos. I should know, right? And pretty big egos. And I have a feeling, just a feeling, since you work with the hauntings that occur in Hollywood, most specifically, that, well, how to present this to you. I talk to a lot of people who talk to me of spiritual things. And they always say that to get in the right state, you must subvert the ego in almost every discipline you can name.
Mm-hmm.
You must subvert your own ego to pass into any sort of different realm or state of consciousness. You must defeat your own ego. People in Hollywood, oh, they have big egos, big egos. And I wonder if that has anything to do with the stubborn sort of behavior that Hollywood ghosts seem to exhibit in sticking around.
Well, I know it does with the ghost of Clifton Webb. Do you remember him?
I should, but I don't.
A marvelous, wonderful old actor, the original Mr. Belvedere, and...
Oh, okay.
A Night to Remember, the version of the Titanic.
Of course, yes.
That,
yes.
I really liked him.
Yes, oh yes.
John Philip Sousa, and lots of things. Well, he, you know, his spirit continued to haunt his old house and drive the new occupants crazy, and they finally had a seance with the very famous psychic Sybil Leek.
Oh, really?
And they invited a bunch of Clifton's friends, and Sybil went into a trance and channeled Clifton, and the friends, who were like Ruth Gordon and, you know, amazing people, said that only Clifton would have known the things
mm-hmm.
that came out of Sybil Leek's mouth as Clifton. And one of the things she said as Clifton was that he was terribly sad that he didn't think people remembered him
mm.
after all his work.
Yeah, that would be a reflection of an ego, all right.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons he was sticking around. And then there are others who are, you know, real workaholics, like Ozzie Nelson.
Right.
Was a real workaholic. He still haunts the soundstage where they shot Ozzie and Harriet, and he has for a very long time haunted their old home. And besides the usual ghostly goings-on, and by that I mean lights and faucets turning on and off, doors opening and closing.
Right.
Besides that, Ozzie has kind of gotten very cozy with the women who have moved in the house. In the middle of the night, they feel someone pulling back the covers of their bed,
uh-huh.
someone nuzzling at their neck.
Oh, no.
And taking a few liberties, I might say. Now, this activity has died down in the house since Harriet died. We were talking much earlier about, you know, if you don't know you're dead, can someone who is dead help you make that transition?
Maybe Harriet got up there and strained him out. or over there, I don't know. On the other side, I don't know where the other side is. I wish I knew. I guess I wish we all wish we knew. What do you make of people who have near-death experiences? Do you think they actually experience the other side, or just sort of a transitional place?
I think, you know, in my mind, I think they see it from, like, across a lake. You know, they can see the lights and feel the warmth and the peace and the easiness of it.
So they're close to it. They're touched by it, sort of, but they're not really there.
Not, you know, one foot in, one foot out.
Huh. And Ricky Nelson.
Oh, this is the most amazing story, Art. I have never told this story before. Ricky Nelson bought Errol Flynn's old estate.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was separated from his wife, he lived there with his daughter, Tracy.
Right.
Ricky saw the ghost of Errol Flynn in the house upon occasion. Tracy saw him once, and Ricky just, you know, eased her and said, "Hey, it's just Errol. He's cool." One night, Tracy comes home, and her father's on the road. She's there alone. She's upstairs in her room, and she hears what she thinks is someone breaking in downstairs. she eventually hears crashing, furniture being thrown against the wall.
Yes.
She can hear her father's gold records being removed from the wall and smashed to smithereens. The house was shaking. She hid in the closet while this activity went on for at least 45 minutes. And finally, it stopped, and after a safe period of time, she went downstairs. Nothing had been touched. The two family cats had been put in Rick's bedroom, and the door was locked from the inside. Other than that,
the door was locked from the inside.
Mm-hmm, the bedroom door. But other than that, nothing had been touched. Well, she decided then and there she was moving out. And Rick stayed in the house with his girlfriend. And several months later, they called the police. They heard someone upstairs in Tracy's room, tearing the room apart, crashing, breaking. They ran outside down the driveway waiting for the police to arrive. And they went inside. The noise had stopped. Tracy's bedroom was locked from the inside. Nothing. Nothing had been touched.
I couldn't stay in anything like that. I absolutely couldn't stay. I'd be gone.
Tracy said that when she was younger, none of her girlfriends would spend the night at her house.
Uh-huh.
And she just treated it like a pet, she said. The house had a weird energy, and I just looked on it like it was some sort of pet. Mm-hmm. And after Rick died, she said the energy in the house went from playful to completely malevolent.
Malevolent.
They were terrified to even be in the house. They abandoned.
And did they attribute this to Rick's spirit?
She thought that perhaps the smashing and the crashing had been some kind of a warning about what was going to happen to Rick. The house had been owned by a handsome man who died before his time, Errol Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
And now another handsome man was about to die before his time in a plane crash. And she said after he died, it turned completely black. They abandoned the house.
Hmm.
And it eventually mysteriously burned.
Ricky Nelson had a very unusual life, actually. You remember his song Garden Party?
Mm-hmm.
He was bitterly disappointed at later in life at the way the fans refused to accept anything new that he would do at all. And so I had the feeling, if you ever listen to the words of Garden Party, I had the feeling that he was bitter. And maybe I'm wrong, but the words of that song would indicate that he kind of felt bitter.
Well, Tracy does add that there was a lot of drug usage in the house, and it created kind of a frenetic energy. When her parents were together, there were a lot of problems.
Huh.
And she didn't know whether that added to the activity in the house.
What do you think about drugs generally and the effect on spirits or humans who make the transition to spirits? Does it affect the transition, I wonder? I mean, it's not a natural state, that's for sure.
You know who believed that? Aldous Huxley, the great writer. When he knew it was his last day on Earth, he had a long, lingering death from cancer. And apparently, the night before you die, you have this incredibly claustrophobic night, and you wake up and you know, this is it. My spirit can't stay in this sick body any longer. And he could no longer speak, and he wrote a note to his wife that he wanted to be injected with 100 cc's of pure LSD, which she did. And then
she did?
Yeah. And then later on, she gave him more, and then she laid down next to him and sort of talked him away. You have no regrets. it's easy to let go. And he just, she said his breathing just got less and less, and he just sort of floated away. And he believed in the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which says the way you exit this world has a very direct effect on how you enter the next.
Well, that part I really buy, because people who die violently tend to produce some sort of ghostly appearance. People who die with a great love, an unrequited great love, tend to remain. People who die with something very much undone, unfinished, tend to somehow hang around.
Mm-hmm.
All of this seems to, the way you die does seem to affect whether you transition easily or in a very, very troubled way. And you mentioned the drugs, and that might be a very troubled way, or maybe conversely, it made it a very easy way. I don't know. What do you say?
He believed, he had experimented with LSD. He believed it was a very spiritual drug. He didn't take it casually the way we think of in the 60s. It was, a highly treasured experience for
mm-hmm.
him.
Yes.
So for him, it was a very spiritual passing. After all the things he'd written, when someone asked him his advice, what advice would he leave the earth with, he said, "I wish we would all be a little kinder to one another."
Sounds like Rodney King.
But he had, he lived a full life. When you talk about people dying violently, usually they are lives cut short.
Yes.
And when a life is cut short, there is unfinished business. And it's hard, it's hard for us to let go on this plane. You know, and it doesn't change all that much.
We're here for such a very short time, cosmically. I mean, when you think of it, we're just, boom. It's a blink of the eye that we're here and we're gone. But, nevertheless, it is a linear stretch of time during which it does seem like you've got to get certain things accomplished or done. It feels that way, and so if it feels that way, it probably is that way. So do you believe that? You're supposed to get certain things done?
Yes. You're supposed to fulfill a certain, a certain plot. But, and whatever happens is the way it was supposed to happen. Which is even more frustrating.
Well, I was told by my own wife long ago, and I've said this many times on the radio, that, when we first got together, I said to her, if I was fatally ill and I was in great pain, I would think it might be appropriate to go out the easy way, take some pills, whatever, not suffer through some horrible, twitching, terrible death.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "Oh no, you're supposed to go through that. You have to go through that, and if you don't go through that, if you take the short, easy way out, then you're going to have to live it again. Or you're going to have to live it out, or karma, or whatever you want to call it, the words people use for this kind of thing. It will be worked out eventually, if not now, later." What do you think about that?
I think that that has a good ring of truth to it. I don't know if she could very well be right.
By the way, hearkening back to that photograph that's up on the web right now that I had you look at,
mm-hmm.
I interviewed while he was alive a truly great man named Father Malachy Martin. And I interviewed him many times. And after I interviewed this young lady who so disturbed me, named Harlot,
mm-hmm.
I went to Father Martin. He was here on the air. I did it on the air. And I said, "Father, it just couldn't be true. Could it?" In other words, how could a mother couldn't possibly take her son to hell with her. And there was this long pause. And Father Martin said, "I'm sorry, Art. but she could. There's a Catholic priest who was advisor to a couple of popes and very high up in the Catholic Church, a critic of it at some levels, but he said, make no mistake, she absolutely could have done that, taken her son, an innocent soul from my point of view, to hell with her. And here was a highly placed Catholic priest telling me, indeed, she could have done that. Doesn't seem right, does it?
No.
And yet it's true. Hold on, stay right where you are. And speaking of Rick, why not? I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Premier Networks. That was Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM on this Somewhere in Time. To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Gee, can't tell I'm stuck on this song, can ya? Good morning, everybody. Lori Jacobson is here, and her book is Haunted Hollywood, Hollywood Haunted, actually. And we're going to tell you how to get it in a moment. The usual way, of course, at Amazon.com. That's the easy way. Also a little cheaper, actually. It's the wave of the future, you know. The way we're going to be ordering everything. Probably kidneys one day. Just go online, kidney.com. Not that I know there is such a place. There probably is. There's .com or anything else. Anyway, we're going to. I'm going to turn Lori over to you. So if you have a question about Hollywood and ghosts, or just ghosts, she's your lady, Lori Jacobson, and the phone's coming up shortly.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Well, okay, here we go to the phones with Laurie Jacobson. Just one item first. Laurie, your book, Hollywood Haunted. I keep wanting to say Haunted Hollywood. Did you debate at all the title of your book before you so named it?
There is a book that's about 30 years old.
Called Haunted Hollywood?
Yes.
So, I see. Well, there's no rule against that.
That was the big debate.
I see. So you could have done that, or you could have gone with what you did, Hollywood Haunted. Well, where can people get your book? Obviously, Amazon.com, of course.
Amazon.com. It will be in stores on the 25th. You can also get it from my publisher.
Also, it's that new. I mean, it hasn't even hit the store shelves yet.
This is an updated and revised edition.
Oh.
Several new stories, including the Ricky Nelson story.
Oh. All right.
Lots of pictures.
So it's brand new then.
And it is brand new, and you can get a signed copy if you call my publisher.
People love those things. They love them. So you can really get a signed copy, huh?
You really can.
All right.
The 800 number is 949-8039.
I'm right here, 8039. So it's 1-800-949-8039.
Right.
Autographed copy.
Autographed copy.
I love autographed copies. I of course, get a lot of them because I interview a lot of authors, so I'm very fortunate to have autographed copies.
You must have a spectacular library.
Oh, you just wouldn't believe it. I truly do. And it means a lot to me. I don't know. These books mean a lot to me, period. But when you have an autographed copy, it's really very, very meaningful. So, anyway, if you folks want an autographed copy, 1-800-949-8039. It's Hollywood Haunted. So if you're ready, Lori, we're going to go to the phone, see what's out there.
Great.
All right, here it comes. First time caller line, you're on the air with Lori Jacobson and Art Bell. Hi.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
I'm okay. Where are you?
I'm in Hawaii.
Oh, really? What?
Yeah.
Which island?
On Oahu.
Oahu, the big one.
Yeah.
No, the main one, not the big one.
The main one, yeah. I actually moved here from Humboldt County.
Well,
and I started listening to you up there.
Believe me, you're in a very haunted place.
Yes.
There could be a book called Haunted Hawaii.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. I actually have a couple comments first, and then a question for Lori.
Sure.
And, first comment is, thank you so much for your show. I have to say that. A friend of mine up in Humboldt, actually my old landlord, turned me on to your show.
You're very
welcome.
I have
to say hi to Billy. My name's Kat. I have to say hi to Billy.
Your name is Kat?
Uh-huh.
I've got a favorite song right now called Year of the Cat.
Uh-huh. I know. You listen to it. My fiance laughs every time you put it on when you play it.
There you are.
I always laugh. But the second comment I have for you, which we're not going to discuss right now, obviously, I saw one of the green fireballs the other night. I kept trying to call your show.
I understand.
But then my question for Lori is, I had a couple of experiences when I was living in Southern California, and I completely believe in everything you're talking about. But it was right after I had my son. He's almost 13 now, and I guess he was about 4 months old at the time. And I always had him sleep with me. And I got up in the night with him, you know, new mom, and was lying there in bed, hadn't fallen back to sleep yet, and had this experience of these little creatures coming around me, like little dark, shadowy figures. And it frightened me. It didn't frighten me for my son, but it scared me for me. And I screamed, and they just, like, dispersed. And so there was a period of time where I was scared to go to sleep, got over it, and about 2 years later, the exact same thing happened in a different apartment. And now he was two years old at this time. And I just want to know what your comment is on some kind of experience like that. Because most people think I'm nuts when I talk about it.
When they came back 2 years later, was it to the same place?
No, it was a different apartment. The only same thing about the apartment, same town, the only similarities was the same kind of windows. They were the crank windows that open out. It was in Ventura, California, in a both really old apartment buildings.
Boy, I know Barry Taff would be all over you asking if there were any odd marks on your body or... Because he has described abductions. Well, you know, he has described to me, you know, people visiting from other places and taking notes what's going on in your life now, and they would come back a couple years later. And
well, I've always felt that that was like something that was going to be reoccurring in my life. I haven't experienced it since, and the only similarities, like I said, were the windows, and also my son was still sleeping with me both times. And since he wasn't sleeping with me anymore, you know, after he became, you know, three, I never had that experience again, but it always affected me, I think.
I can see why, but yeah, I'm really glad it's not happening anymore.
I know, me too.
Thank you for the call, Kat.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Do ghosts frequently, or entities, do they follow people? I mean, usually they seem anchored to a place, but are they ever anchored instead to a person and follow them?
Sure. The entity case was an example of that, where she actually moved away, states away, and it continued to go with her. You know, like I said, ghosts were humans. You know, they attach themselves to houses, to favorite rocking chairs, to... it's why even the ancient Egyptians said you're not supposed to remove anything from this tomb. It meant something to someone. It was in a sacred spot.
Well, you know, there are, in fact, pretty well-documented stories about people who have opened tombs, who have, I mean, the amount of misfortune and death that followed the people who opened certain tombs was beyond all reason and calculation, Lori. You know that. So, I don't know. What is that? Is that a... Is it a curse? Or is it the spirit of what was in there carrying out what was promised?
Very odd, since the majority of people don't believe in curses anymore, and so they don't seem to really...
Yeah, a lot of people who died so horribly also didn't believe in curses, the ones who opened those tombs.
Yes, now this I don't know, but I do know that spirits can go with an object or with a person. They can appear momentarily, like the ghost of Lucy, to lament the loss of her home.
Well, here's one for you. Here's a horrible little thought. Do they remain... ever with their bodies? I mean, we hear lots and lots of stories about graveyards, don't we? Graveyards as places of haunting, which would indicate to me that the spirit is unable to divest itself of the body, or the other way around, I guess.
You know, I've heard of spirits being seen occasionally near their graves, but...
Or morgues. How about morgues? How'd you like to work in a morgue at night?
Oof.
Right? I mean, these are the very recently dead. Refrigerated.
Yeah, it's not high on my list of job opportunities.
I must be in a mood. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Lori Jacobson. Hello.
Hi, good evening, Art, and good evening, Lori. This is John calling from Bel Air, and I thoroughly enjoy your show. I think it's a
wonderful thing. Thank you, John.
And I have a theory, and then I have a question for Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is, Lori, do you think it is possible that ghosts, spirits, and hauntings may be recordings, like basically the universe around us? When we experience an incredible amount of emotion, physics teaches us that energy doesn't disappear. We can send energy out into the universe, and it can change forms, but it doesn't disappear. Do you think it is conceivable that in the case of some of these more horrible, violent deaths, you know, the amount of energy, not just physical, but, you know, the mind, the spirit, the amount of trauma that some of these unfortunate individuals experienced prior to being killed, do you think that is what is just hanging around, that emotional energy, and perhaps gifted psychics and mediums can tune into energy that is around us all the time? I mean, maybe ghosts are around us all the time.
Well, you think, sir, the real spirit moves on, is that what you're saying? It's just sort
maybe.
Of an echo?
Yeah, kind of like an echo.
Okay.
Well, I can answer that in two ways. There are spirits who interact with people who are living. They see them. They respond to them. And then there are spirits that people see that seem to be repeating an endless tape loop, the same activity over and over again. And often it is reliving a violent end. And I agree with you. I think that is trapped energy more than a ghost. And in some cases, I mean, on how many Art will love this. On how many levels do we exist? For in the case of Sharon Tate, the incredible violent nature of her death, I think, was out there so far in advance that 2 years prior to her death, she saw an apparition that was her dead. She didn't recognize, she knew it was a dead person. I don't believe she recognized it as herself. But 2 years before this happened to her, so maybe it had happened on another plane some other time.
Thank you. And my other question is the Doheny Mansion haunted? I was at a shoot there a couple weeks ago, and a number of us were running around the rooms upstairs in the dark.
I have heard that it was, but my partner in the book, Mark Wanamaker, lived there for a time and said nothing ever happened.
What did you experience, sir?
Honestly, nothing. I wish I could say I experienced something. I was actually in the room where supposedly a murder occurred.
Yes.
Well, then her answer is right in line.
Definitely.
All right, thank you. Very good. I would have expected you to have said, oh, yes. Yes, figuring that that's what he was saying, but you didn't. Good answer. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Jacobson. Hello.
Hello, King of Talk. How you doing? It's Kathy from Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Hey, Kath, number one on WABC.
Oh, again. I hear you shook, rattled, and rolled, and I'm so glad you and Ramona are okay.
Boy, so well, I'm telling you, never again do I want to feel that. Never, ever, ever, ever again.
Never, ever feel safe anywhere, Art.
Well, after that, you don't, Kathy. Believe me.
Well, keeping in topic form here, whenever people go to locations, Lori, to do movies, many movies about poltergeist or just strange subjects about biographies about actors who are dead 60 years or so, has there ever been a story that's good enough to tell about a haunting on a set?
Good question, Kathy, and I bet there is.
Well, there's quite a few. At Universal Studios, which was known for its horror pictures in the 30s, and they had the biggest horror star there was, Lon Chaney.
Oh, yes.
And they built this soundstage, Stage 28, especially for him to do The Phantom of the Opera. The Paris Opera House sets were so enormous, they had to build a special soundstage for it. And to this day, the Opera House sets are still stored in there, and lights go on and off, doors open and close, things move, and people see a caped figure running along the catwalk.
Did you say a caped figure?
A caped figure,
caped,
yes.
Oh, caped figure. Okay.
Much like the Phantom.
Right.
And most people believe it's Lon. Mm. That happens to be my favorite one. I'm trying to think, what's the movie where everyone sees the little boy looking through the window? Do you know what I'm talking about?
The little boy looking through the window.
Oh, it's Three Men and a Baby,
yeah. Now, that's real. That's real. Somehow, I forget the story or how it happened, but one frame in that movie really is there, and you can find that frame of that child looking out the window. You can find that. There's no question about it. You can actually find it in the movie. You can go rent the movie. If you have a very good VCR and you can go frame by frame, you can find that. It'll give you the chills, but I'm not sure you want to, but you can. Rust of the Rockies, you're on the air with Laurie Jacobson. Hello.
Good evening, Art and Laurie.
Hi.
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Yes, sir.
Over the years, I've had a chance to add various spiritual occurrences that happened to my family and all as growing up. Regret I never got to relate one to Malachi Martin, where in our family we had various religious statues that one was a statue of Joseph. We lifted it by the head, and the head just came off in our hand, and within a week, one of our relatives died. Another time, a crucifix was on a solid wall, fell off, and broke. We're like, how did this actually just jump off the wall and do that? And within a week, another relative of ours died. So
I just bet it's a real happy moment around your house when something like that happened.
Little signals. Now for Lori,
we all stand around looking at each other. Who's next?
Who will it be? Yeah. So for Lori, though, being in Los Angeles, I've heard about the Variety Arts Center, and I wonder if Lori's aware of it, because through a friend of mine, a ghost story was related where maybe three people were in the bar area. It was an old entertainment building in downtown Los Angeles. There were about three people having a drink.
Tell you what, sir, can you hold that story? Sir. Otherwise, we won't do it justice. We'll be back right after the break, which is now. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
All the laws that keep us bound. And the reasoning of his latest claim. He talked and talked, and I heard him say that she had the longest, blackest hair, the prettiest green eyes anywhere. And the reasoning of his latest claim. Though I smiled, the tears inside were burning. I wished him luck, and then he said,
she doesn't give you time for questions as she locks up your arms in hers, and you follow till your sense of which direction completely disappears. By the boot-top walls near the market stalls, there's a hidden door she leads you to. These days, she says, I feel my life just like a river running through the air of the cat.
Premier Network presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Good morning. This is for Cat in Hawaii. Just that very name alone. Recall the fact that I want to hear this one again tonight. It's haunting. So many songs like that. It's good to be here. We've got Lori Jacobson more directly ahead with your phone calls as we talk about ghosts. Her book is Hollywood Haunted. It's one you're going to want, and the new version is out, and you can get an autographed copy, and I'll go over that number one more time.
Take Coast to Coast AM with you anywhere on your mobile phone. CoastToCoastAM.com can be conveniently accessed on your iPhone and most Android platforms, which means that you are never without your Coast to Coast AM fix. If you're a Coast to Coast Insider subscriber, you can listen to the show live in the middle of the night or previous shows 24/7. Plus, you can browse all the great photos, videos, and news stories. Keeping up with Coast to Coast AM has never been easier with our Coast Insider service.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit CoastToCoastAM.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at CoastToCoastAM.com. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
All right, once again, going back to Lori Jacobson, and you can get an autographed copy of Hollywood Haunted, just about to hit the store shelves ahead of time. Autographed yet. Back now to Lori, and there was a gentleman with us. Sir, you're back on the air again.
Thank you very much. This was regarding the Variety Arts Center in downtown Los Angeles. It's a building of past entertainers, vaudeville and all, and some of the old-timers that would come back and do their acts for people who want to enjoy them once again.
Get good and close to the phone for me. You're not too loud.
Okay.
That's better.
So a friend of mine was 16 at the time, and his parents were in the entertainment business, so he happened to stop into the club or whatever, little restaurant area there. Had a little bar on a particular floor, upper floor. Got himself a soda and a few snacks and said, I'm going to go to the restroom. Which way is it? Well, the bartender directed him down the hall. on this particular floor, and as he's walking down the hall, he says, oh, are they reconstructing something there? Because it's kind of noisy at the end of the hall. And the bartender says, you hear that, huh? And he says, well, yeah. He says, well, you know, there used to be stairs that went to another room on another floor. They're not there anymore, but that's where they used to be.
Hmm.
So he says, oh, okay, well, I'm looking for the restroom. The guy says, well, it's on this side of the hall. So he went to the restroom to wash his hands off from the snacks he was chewing on and all that. And he looks in the mirror, and he sees a woman behind him. Just then the stall door of one of the stalls there just slammed shut, and he looked up again. The woman wasn't there. He immediately just left the faucet running and got out of there. Went up to the bartender, said, where's that woman? Who is she? The bartender says, oh, you saw her too, huh? And he says, yeah. He says, well, that's this ghost that seems to wander the building, and she particularly likes people with blue eyes. Well, my friend did have blue eyes, and that's how he was able to see her. But she did pay a visit, and that's another site in Los Angeles. I don't know if your guest mentioned in her book. That and maybe the world-famous Comedy Store ghost as well. Is she familiar
with it? Yes, the Comedy Store, I have an extensive chapter, and I was a waitress there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. So I experienced a great deal while I was there. The Variety Arts Center, though, I did not include, and it's a wonderful old building, so thank you for that great story.
Marilyn Monroe, I've seen so much on her life. And it was such a troubled, strange life that this woman led. What do you know about her?
And so odd now. They're auctioning off all her personal items.
So I've heard, yes.
Yeah. Marilyn, you know, Marilyn was a true child of Hollywood, and she loved to stay at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. And she stayed there so often. She had a beautiful full-length antique mirror installed in her favorite suite. When she died, they took the mirror out. They stored it downstairs. It stayed there for 25 years. Its history was forgotten. The hotel underwent a major renovation in the mid-80s. They found the mirror. They thought it was pretty. They installed it in the lower lobby. And on the night of the grand reopening, a cocktail waitress was walking by the mirror, and she decided to polish it.
Mm-hmm.
She's cleaning it. She sees a blonde woman in the mirror. She turns around. There's no one there. She turns back to the mirror. The image is still there. And when she looks closely at it, it's Marilyn Monroe. Looking in the mirror, primping with her makeup, fixing her hair, as she must have done hundreds of times before. She got a very warm, happy feeling from the image that she saw. Now, is that a ghost, or is that, as your previous caller said, trapped energy?
Or an echo.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an echo.
That's what I hope. You know, for all of our sakes, that's what I hope. First time caller line, you're on the air with Lori Jacobson. Hello.
Hi, this is Amber in Minnesota.
Hey, Amber.
Thank you for taking my call. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
I have a question regarding the photos on Art's webpage. You mentioned the occupants of the residence are negative.
Mm-hmm.
What is negative about them? I mean, are we talking negativity like Grumpy Gus or actual negatively evil?
They are described to me as just not nice people. You can see the house is just a...
Yeah, I noticed the clutter.
Yeah,
who are these people to your friend that she feels negativity from them, yet she still lives there?
It's her family.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and at the moment she has nowhere else to be.
Now, these photos went up on the website earlier in the day, and I got several photographs. Emails about the photographs, which said that they thought it was your house, Lori. And they said, why don't you tell this woman when you get her on the air tonight, clean up her damn house.
It's not my house.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, speaking still of the photos, is there in the photo where there's actually, it looks like a daylight photograph of the religious calendar.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a woman sitting under that in that photo?
No. There's a picture of, so you can see the calendar clearly, and
right.
then there's the other picture with the demon.
Oh, no. You know what? It is the one with the, as you say, the 13th century bohemian demon. There's not a woman sitting below that?
Okay. No.
Maybe it's just the way I'm seeing it.
There,
as you said, there seems to be a lot of food and clutter about. Are there several people in the residence?
Yes.
And are they perhaps stockpiling for Y2K?
I doubt that. But, you know, a person who would keep a house that way would be, in my opinion, a troubled person some way or another. And so I guess I'm not surprised at the negative aspect of it. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Lori Jacobson. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Andy from Largo, Florida.
Hi, Andy.
Hi, good. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Lori, I was looking at on Art's ghost page, page 2,
mm-hmm.
where he's got his, where the listeners sent in their enhanced images. Image number 9, where a listener drew her like a red circle and says, "What is this?"
I don't think that she's had an opportunity to see it, go ahead.
But outside of that, I'm not looking inside the red circle, but outside of that, on your desk where your ham equipment is, it looks like a little alien face. Sounds kind of crazy, but if you just look at it, and then when you see that, then look back above your forehead area where he's got that drawn in there where that looks like ectoplasm, it looks like the same kind of species.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something strange I looked at. Really look at that.
All right.
And
I will do that, and I'm sure Lori will as well.
I'll check it out.
But I just thought I'd call and let you look at it. Okay, thanks, Art.
Thank you, and I think, Lori, that I've determined over the years that dealing with this kind of material and talking about these kinds of things brings them on.
Mm-hmm.
Thought about that at all?
Yes.
I mean, Dr. Taft, for example, when I talked to him about the entity case, I questioned him very closely, and he's very careful about what he says with regard to what he believes about that. For example, I asked him, is it not possible, doctor, that she brought it on herself, that this was actually a manifestation of her own brain? And he said, oh, yes, it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely possible. And he sort of leans in that direction.
Yes, he shared that with me.
Did he?
That she was rather a, you know, frenetic.
Yeah, oh, yes.
And that, you know, that energy, you know, can draw negative things to you. Many of the people that who allowed me into their homes with Barry and with psychics said that after we left, the spirits in their house kicked up a big fuss.
Yes.
And they wouldn't let us back.
Yes. Well, again, I believe, and I really do, that dealing with this kind of stuff brings it on, and it begs the question of whether the investigator, even some investigators like yourself, are more likely to see or have an experience with what we regard as an entity of some kind, a ghost, if you will, and it's because we deal with this material. We're open to it. It's like using a Ouija board and opening the door.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about that?
Well, you know, as many times as I went out and I was told that I was in the presence of a spirit, and as you know, the psychics could, and Barry, they could outline exactly where they felt this energy.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see or feel anything, and I so wanted to, and I believed, but you know, as one of the psychics said, I just wasn't tuned into the right frequency.
I gotcha. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Lori Jacobson. Hi.
Hello, hi.
Hi, you're going to have to yell at us on. You're not too loud.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is Lisa from Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, Lisa.
Hi. Well, you know, I heard you make the comment about 3 Men and a Baby, that movie with the little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that I did see that, and it really, really freaked me out. But my question was about The Wizard of Oz.
Really?
Oh, yeah, there's a scene where
I know what you're going to say.
I don't, so say it.
Well, I'm trying to remember what part it was. I think it was at the part after the witch appears and she's throwing the fireballs at Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Lion and Tin Man. And then as they go and skip down the yellow brick road, in the distance where you would imagine that it would be like a painted backdrop,
right,
you see some activity. And it almost looks like a person climbing up on a ladder and jumping off the ladder and they hang themselves.
Yes,
and that's what I've been told that it was. And
that is an odd rumor that has circulated for the last several years.
Really?
That one of the munchkins hanged themselves in the back of the picture, and the picture's been playing for 60 years and people just picked it up. No, it's actually, when you look at it, it's an odd ostrich-like bird.
Okay.
You know, with the head bobbing. And, you know, now when you see it, you'll clearly see that that's what it was.
But why would a bird be on there?
They actually got it from the L.A. Zoo. It was a theme in the film that they did not carry through.
Okay.
Exotic animals in the forest. But they had rented this bird and they paid a fortune, so they used it.
Oh, isn't that strange? Well, there's your answer.
Okay, well, thank you. But, Laura, you know what? Did you have any information about that little boy that was in 3 Men and a Baby?
No. I've just heard the story and seen it, you know, in the frame.
Yeah.
Oh, so you've seen it too?
Yes.
Good.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for answering my question.
Thank you. And people inevitably run out, I suppose, and rent that. Hi there. West of the Rockies. You're on the air with Laurie Jacobson.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Laurie, I wondered if anyone had possibly done a correlation between the apparitions or ghosts that
I can barely hear her either.
Some people think...
Yell at us, hon.
Okay, I'll try. I wondered if there's any correlation between the ghosts and apparitions that some people see or hear, and whether or not the tracing of the person's ancestry shows any designation of their spirituality. In other words, have there been any records to show whether or not a ghost was of a spiritual nature or of any particular faith?
Ah.
Hmm. Well, you know, I have seen ghosts of monks and nuns, so I suppose they, you know, they were spiritual people.
Huh.
Well,
that's a problem for me. You've seen ghosts of monks and nuns.
Well, I said that too quickly. I have stories of monks and nuns in this old monastery in Hollywood. And psychics have seen long rows of monks chanting and walking through the monastery.
Yeah, I'm not sure I like that. In other words, unless you go with the echo or endless...
Yes, it could be an echo.
Yeah, if it's not an echo, then I'm troubled greatly by it, because if monks are stuck here for some reason and nuns, then, you know, I'm definitely stuck here. Yeah, that's one way to think about it. Laura, you've been a real pleasure to have on the air, and again, I want to plug your book for you. It's called Hollywood Haunted, and people can get it at Amazon.com, or, really cool, is an autographed copy, and you can get that by calling. By the way, is that a 24-hour number?
No, it isn't.
It isn't? Oh,
but a machine will pick up.
A machine will get it.
If you call now in the middle, it's the middle of the night in Los Angeles.
In LA, right, it is. So the number is 1-800-949-8039. Again, just so you get it, so you're sure you've got it, it's 1-800-949-8039. And again, I want to thank you for coming on the program.
Oh, Art, it's always so much fun.
All right, we will have you back again. You take care.
Thank you.
Good night, Laurie.
Good night, Art.
That's Laurie Jacobson. And one would imagine, wouldn't one, that the egos of Hollywood would remain unfinished business, refusal to leave the set and the audience and the rush. All right, we're going to do an hour of open lines directly ahead. This whole week is going to kind of be catch as catch can. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
The trip back in time continues with Art Bell hosting Coast to Coast AM. More Somewhere in Time coming up. Somewhere in Time with Art Bell continues, courtesy of Premier Networks.
You know, there are certain songs that just sort of reach through the years and grab at you the way they did then. This is one of them. Remember it? Temptation Eyes, Grassroots. I actually, in an earlier incarnation in my life, got to introduce the Grassroots on stage, along with some other rock groups. That was another lifetime ago.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night. But you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. Listen on your way to work and again on the way home. Or listen to one of over 1,000 archived shows from the past 3 years. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. You'll sleep like a baby, knowing you'll never miss your favorite guests and topics ever again. Remember, a one-year subscription comes out to only 15 cents a day. Sign up today at coasttocoastam.com.
Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM.
Let's talk a little bit about the shadow government. Do you believe it's there?
Yeah, we've heard that term, you know, for so many years, and I thought it was this group in the Netherlands that sit behind smoked windows and make decisions like, you know, giant players of chess. But it isn't. We don't have the government anymore. What we have is a loose coalition of bureaucracies. But we have no representation in that government. So when I look at the Constitution, I see it as a really inspired and eternal document that has been sidestepped in almost every legal way possible. So the process itself has been intentionally manipulated to facilitate a certain style of government. And it's taken a while to set up, but I think it's set up now and it's working just the way they like it. We need a systemic change in order to let the Republic be representative of the people again.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
So how's your canoodle? That's a pretty interesting name, isn't it? All right, we're going into open lines, which means you can talk about anything you want to talk about. And we are going to kind of play it by ear all week. I may or may not schedule a guest for the rest of the week. Maybe I'll do open lines. You know, people keep wanting me to do this Illuminati line, but I thought it might be fun to open a special line for secret society members. Now, if we just did Illuminati, I don't think we'd get enough. But if we open a line for secret society members, people with knowledge that is said to have been passed down over generation after generation after generation to probably a time when we cannot even recall the genesis of it all, if we were to open the line for secret societies, which I have never done, it might be kind of fun. So maybe we'll do an open line night and combine it with a special secret society line. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow night. I don't know. We'll see. I've got a couple of guests coming up soon that I'm working on now. George Carlin is one of them. Yes, George Carlin. George, where are you? I hear from his office just about daily. He wants to be on the show, but he of course has a lot of commitments, as you know. So he'll be here soon. And Crystal Gale, who I've never had on the air, and I've got a follow up on that too. I got a message from Crystal. But I'm sort of tied into the idea of a group of open lines, and I really like the idea of a secret society line. Secret society whistleblowers. That's what it would be, right? Yes. On the international line, you are on the air. Top of the morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. It's Anne in Ontario.
Hi there.
I was wondering, last week I thought you said you were going to have on Major Ed Daines the night that you had on Richard Hoagland.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. Must have been my radio. Were you planning on having him on soon?
Always. I will always have Ed Daines on again soon, so look forward to it. Of course, yes. Yes. Anytime with Ed. And especially now, toward the end of the year. And especially since, uncomfortably, quite a number of his predictions really have begun to manifest themselves, no matter... A lot of people either love or hate Ed Daines, but he's had a lot of hits. He's really had a lot of hits. If you look at Ed Daines' predictions, as you would look at the quatrains of Nostradamus, then you would have to conclude that things like the encephalitis outbreak in New York might have some relationship to a prediction made by Ed Daines. Loose and not that loose, really. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello, turn your radio off, please.
Art Bell.
Yes.
So good to hear from you.
Well, good to hear from you, actually. You're in a truck, right?
Yeah, in my car, driving down the freeway.
You're in a car, okay.
This is Daryl in Sacramento.
Yes.
A curious question for you. Why is it that you decided to switch Mondays and Fridays? I know you have the special shows on pre-recorded. But why do you continue to do that? Are you just taking extra time with your family or what?
Yeah, I have a lot of things going on in my personal life, sir, some of which I can't discuss right now that require that. It's personal.
Mm-hmm. And about those flashlights.
The LED flashlights?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is the array in those the same as in the light that comes with the Bajan?
Yes and no. In other words, for example, they have a new offering of a light with 8, check it out, 8 LEDs.
Oh, now that would be brighter.
Not just brighter, but it rivals or exceeds a regular flashlight in brightness.
Yeah, definitely. That would be better, because I've got the Bajan with the light, and it's bright. I mean, it'll put out some light.
You know, it's not designed to be the world's answer to light the darkness of the night, but it will light. I mean, if your power went off and it was dark in the house, it'd beat the hell out of a candle.
Oh, I totally agree, 100%.
Yeah.
Now, is that 8 light array on the new flashlight? Is that the same deal as the $30 or whatever?
Yeah, it's just 30. I forget what it is. Maybe it's more. You'd have to call Bob Crane and ask.
Yeah,
it's
just out. Catalog.
It's just out. I mean,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's brand new, like within the last few days.
Well, that's a slick deal. 3 batteries, I take it?
I think 2 C-cells.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's a real serious line.
Hey, I love your show, man.
Okay, thank you, my
Fantastic.
Friend.
Fantastic.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi. I'm John. I'm calling from Yonkers, New York, listening on talk radio out of Philadelphia.
All right, John. Had to switch over when WABC went to their morning show.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'd like to say how relieved I was to learn that no munchkins were hanged during the filming of The Wizard of Oz.
So you had heard that too, huh?
I'd heard that over the years. I haven't seen the movie in a long time. But I'm just glad to know that none of the little people were harmed. The reason why I called was the BBC online story about the drilling in Antarctica in search of possible extraterrestrial organisms.
Yes, wonderful. Just wonderful.
The first time I heard that story, it reminded me of something. There's a gothic fiction writer by the name of H.P. Lovecraft.
Okay, I've got to correct you just a little bit. They weren't in search of extraterrestrial organisms, although you might as well think of it that way. What they were in search of was to core down and get organisms that lived on Earth as much as 30 to 40 million years ago.
Mm.
Now, that's almost like getting extraterrestrial organisms, or really might be for all we know. But either way, you got to figure, it could be really deadly for us.
Well, that's what makes this Lovecraft story so intriguing, because in 1931 he published a story called At the Mountains of Madness. And it deals with a group of scientists who travel to Antarctica to drill for core samples.
Great.
In the process of doing so, they discover a cave that's been sealed for tens of millions of years, and in it they find these large organisms that they've never seen before. They take, a small group of scientists take some of these organisms back to the base camp to examine them.
Yeah.
A blizzard moves in, they're cut off from communication, a rescue party is sent out. They find the camp deserted, these organisms have disappeared.
Of course.
And it's later discovered that these are actually were survivors of a race of intelligent aliens which presumably migrated to Earth 20, 30 million years ago when Antarctica had a warm climate. And it's strange how sometimes fact and fiction seem to interrelate with each other.
Synchronicity, it's called.
Absolutely.
No, you're right. And actually, I don't think it matters whether they'd be extraterrestrial or just really that old. Either way, for the present human race, if it could have as large a negative impact.
You know, one thing. You also mentioned last week's broadcast of the Nova episode, Time Travel.
Yes.
And that was one of the final appearances, as I understand it, of Carl Sagan. And he said something very interesting about ghosts, which ties into tonight's guest.
What did he say?
He, in response to the question, if time travelers from the future are here, why don't we see them? He speculated that, well, perhaps those phenomena that we call UFOs or ghosts are actually time travelers or time machines.
It was, you know, what was happening to Carl toward the end was really remarkable. All his professional career, he really laid this kind of thing to waste. I mean, he really went after this sort of thing and just pooed it, you know. But then toward the end, he began to change in his views about what might be out there and what might be down here. Really strange. Toward the end of his life, he really began to modify his views and say things that, but I guess we all do that.
You know, the interesting thing, about Dr. Sagan is that at the beginning of his career, he made his reputation as sort of one of the angry young men of science. Back
That's
in
right.
1963, he co-wrote a book with a Russian astronomer named I.S. Shlovsky. And in this book, he commented that astronomical observations of the Martian moon Phobos seemed to indicate that it was not a natural object.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Sagan did go from one extreme to the other.
He did. You're right.
Back during the course of his career.
You're absolutely right. Thank you very much. He's right. He did swing back and forth. But toward the end, he really said what was on his mind. That's not such a surprise. I mean, if you work for the USGS right now, for example, you probably have to take the official position that people who predict earthquakes are, you know, facts, right? Or maybe something slightly lesser. Maybe you chuckle or you do whatever you do if you work for the USGS, if that's where your check is signed every week or 2 weeks or however often USGS people get paid. But after you retire, frequently you begin expressing a very different sort of opinion about that kind of phenomenon. You know, it's like you're set free. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Jason Perump.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Just fine?
Yeah, I'm glad that you made it through the earthquake okay, huh?
How was it for you, Jason, since you're here in town?
You know, I was driving home and I thought we had some high winds.
Like your car was getting pushed all over?
Yeah, I was working swing shift and things got kind of squirrely. And then I was listening to the repeat. You came on the air.
Yes.
And as soon as you came on the air, I went and activated my ham radio. And all the local areas network, everybody was online.
Of course. Oh, yes. Everything was coming up.
Yeah.
Did you talk to other people who were in homes and buildings, family and that sort of thing?
Yeah, yes, I did.
What did they say about it?
They said it was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one, all right.
Everybody's pretty worried, and as I was coming into town, what I did was is I gave everybody the report that, well, I see that the power, you know, is not out.
That's right. The power didn't go out. Amazing that the power didn't go out.
Yeah, that was something.
It's hard for me to imagine the Earth would move beneath our feet in that kind of a violent fashion for that long without some wires and poles going down. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, really, that actually, thanks, Jason, that was the story of this earthquake. I mean, it really was rough. And I'm a fairly old earthquake hand. I went through a lot of them on Okinawa and in Japan, Asia generally, but particularly on Okinawa. That's a serious Ringo fire zone there on the island. And I went through a lot of them. But this one scared me more than any. Maybe because it was it went on for so long. But the real story of this earthquake is that there wasn't that much damage. Well, at least because of where it was, you know, it was in a fairly unpopulated area. But you heard Jim Berkland in the first hour. If you didn't, you will. In fact, I think I'll have the first hour replayed when we finish here this morning. For those of you that sort of get the repeat, we'll do the first hour instead of the second hour, and you'll get to hear Jim talk about that. But there was a 25-mile stretch of land that was offset a long way, and they've just found it. It's where this earthquake occurred, a 25-mile rupture in the land. The only thing I forgot to ask Jim about tonight was the Mexican village that swirled into the ground. That one still bothers me, and I meant to ask Jim about that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. No, you're not. I didn't push the button. West of the Rockies, now you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning. How are you? I'm fine.
I wondered how the kitties did in your earthquake.
Ran like bats out of hell.
Especially
my wild one. I have not seen him move so fast since he's been here. He tore across the room and went into the... He lives half his life in my closet. Still.
What that now, especially.
And he planted himself in his little... he's made a little sort of a lair for himself in my closet. And... actually, in my wife's closet, and that's where he was, and stayed for a long time.
Did they give you any signals before?
No. And if they did, I wasn't paying attention.
Wasn't there a loud explosion, like a day or two before, where they thought something had blown up, and then they decided it was some sort of a sonic boom?
No, I don't think I heard that.
I heard something like that, and it was down in California, but I don't know where.
Yeah, I don't know if that relates to the earthquake or not.
Because I've heard sometimes there is some sort of a loud explosion before an earthquake. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you, Art.
All right, well, thank you for calling, and take care. Yeah, I'm telling you, it scared the hell out of me. I really thought first flash was we're not going to live through this, you know, a little ways into it. As it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and things are really swinging, and the house is really moving all over the place, and you can actually feel the waves pushing the house around. You can hear it creaking, and you can see, you can almost, it's like a horror movie where you can see the floor in waves. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Carolyn in Pahrump as well.
Well, you're in Pahrump too.
Yes, sir. I am, and loving it. We're really new here.
Tell people... Wasn't it something?
Oh, my God. that was amazing. It just never would stop. The water in our pool was going schlippity-schlop all over the place.
I know. The people in Las Vegas talked about how serious it was there.
Oh, we
how they ran out of casinos. They don't know how much worse it was here.
Uh-huh, definitely.
And I was really quite surprised. I almost called CNN myself, and I said, you guys are talking about everywhere else. Why don't you try talking about Pahrump? Because we really caught hell here. Can you hold on?
Sure.
All right. We've got a break we've got to make at the bottom of the hour. And I never regarded Pahrump as earthquake country. Well, I do now.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
Gonna take a look. Thank you.
listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
It's written on the wind, all right. I feel it too, don't you? There's going to be an event. And the earthquake really wasn't it. There's something that lies ahead. I can feel it in my fingers, in my bones. Like he says, it's written on the wind.
You can depend. I see your face this moment as I lay on my bed. I can't forget the thinking of all the things you said.
This is kind of my music of the millennium thing that I'm doing. But if you listen to the first words of that song.
I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes.
It's kind of like that.
Love is all around me, and so the feeling grows. It's written on the wind.
Yes. Maybe time to have Gordon Michael Scallion back. Mount Etna, I understand, is acting up again now. And we've got another hurricane brewing in the Caribbean. We have major sun flares going on. We have earthquakes aplenty popping. And it's just sort of exactly what I expected toward the end of the year here. And it's written on the wind.
Coast to Coast AM sure sounds great in the middle of the night, but you know, you don't have to be nocturnal to enjoy this amazing show. The Coast Insider is your key to a normal life. For 15 cents a day, you can wake up refreshed knowing that last night's show is waiting for you with podcasting. As a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Noory and special guests. The Coast Insiders Club is a must-have feature for all Coast to Coast AM listeners. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today.
Coast to Coast AM. It's way out there.
These groups of extraterrestrials that are unfriendly, many of which are hiding down there at the bottom of the ocean. Why don't they want us to know about this?
We've lost people in wars with UFOs. You know, we spend a lot of time honoring our heroes, and we have heroes that we don't know about. It's disturbing to that extent because we have a debt to people who've defended us, and we'll never know who they are.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from October 19, 1999.
All right, tomorrow night we are going to do the Secret Society member line. That's what I've decided to call. Everybody wanted me to do the Illuminati line. I don't think there's enough Illuminati folk out there to, you know, like fill up a whole night. But you gotta know, there's a lot of secret societies out there, right? Some so secret, we don't even know about them. Well, tomorrow night, we will invite the audience on one special line to come and tell us about their secret society. Now, I realize some of them may be killed after they do this, but I'll invite it. I mean, you know, if they want to tell us about it. Maybe you have some second-hand information, like your friend Fred, right? Who told you about his secret society, and that way you won't get killed. Unless, of course, Fred kills you. On the international line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Are you calling from Muskoka?
I beg your pardon?
Who's calling from Muskoka?
Muskoka?
Yes, this is Art Bell.
Yes, it is. Where is Muskoka?
Just above Toronto, about 2 hours north.
Near Toronto, okay.
Yes. I'm listening on Talk 640.
Yes, sir.
I believe it's a new station. I'd like to know what day you're playing Ghost to Ghost this year.
I'm going to do it Monday next.
Monday next.
Next Monday, because later in the week I'm going to make a trip to Mackinac Island, and so I'll be gone a little early in the week, and therefore I'm or late in the week, so I'm going to come on a day early and do it on Monday.
So it'll be the 26th.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. You bet. You're very welcome. Yes, I thought and thought and thought about this. I can't let the year go without doing it. Everybody's driving me crazy about it, so yes, 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 yes. Ghost to Ghost, next Monday night. And it's a very strict show in a lot of ways. In other words, it's only you. We have no guests. And you get to tell your ghost story, and boy, we have heard some real winners. Ooh, ooh, ooh. In fact, I did an extra Ghost to Ghost earlier this year, and it was chilling. They always are. And the reason is because so many people have stories to tell. Now, why would you imagine that would be if there weren't ghosts? There are. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art Bell, how are you?
Okay, sir.
Good. My name's Nick. I'm calling from Montreal.
Montreal?
Yes.
Excellent.
And I just have information from the little boy in the apartment, the three men and a baby.
Yes.
I remember hearing the story a long time ago, and I've seen the movie a couple times.
Yes.
And what it turned out to be, what I heard later, was it's just a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson. Because in the movie, he's an actor.
Yeah.
And he has, if you look in the movie, you see it quite a few times in that same room. It is just a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson.
Yeah, but the way they put that frame in, if you saw it, is totally...
Yeah, you see it, it's behind the curtain.
Totally bizarre.
Yeah, it's really unclear.
Yeah.
But I remember hearing about university students who did a study on it.
Uh-huh.
And they came to the conclusion that that's what it was.
Well, very good. I appreciate the information, but I don't know if that's what everybody thinks. That's what one group of university students thinks. That's fine. I'm not as convinced. I saw it, and I thought it was completely eerie. But on the other hand, you've got to imagine, if you're a movie producer, and you want something very controversial that maybe even years later, after a film is out, will cause people to go back to the store and rent it, why not throw in a completely outrageous frame that really has no relationship to anything else in the movie? Something that people will speculate about, and I mean, I'm sure after talking about it tonight, a lot of you are going to run out and try and find the frame, right? West of the Rockies, so it works. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Carol from Sacramento.
How's everything in Sacramento?
Well, actually, not too bad.
Okay, good.
I was your last caller about a week and a half ago.
Really?
And I had a question to ask if you would be interested or contemplate implementing into your program.
What?
Your listeners to all put out goodwill, love for the planet and for mankind. Regarding the Betty Edie, when you had Betty Edie on.
Yes.
And at that time you said it was in the works as we spoke.
Yeah, I'm thoughtful, as you know, about all of this, and it may be, dear, and I don't mean to alarm you, that before the end of the year we're going to be forced into doing something like that.
Well,
maybe into the spring of this coming year, I'm not sure.
Well,
I feel like an event is coming.
That they were forced to do that?
Well, that I would feel compelled to do it by events.
Okay.
I don't mean to worry you.
Well, with what Betty said, that that the Armageddon has already started, and the Hopis have said that.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know if they specifically refer to it as Armageddon, but sure. The Hopi. Gordon Michael Scallion. Danion Brinkley. So many that I've had on the program. It's really a long, long laundry list of people who suggest we are in a process now, whatever you want to call it. That and doing something like that, I think, may well become necessary before the end of the year, or at least halfway into the new year. That's just my feeling. It's written on the wind. Listen, I don't know what happened to that poor young lady in Pahrump, and I meant to go back to her, but when I did, the line was dead. So I don't know what happened. But I was very interested to talk to people here in Pahrump. I mean, you just have no idea how serious that earthquake was here. Nobody mentioned it. It didn't get on the news, but it was absolutely, totally frightening here in Pahrump. Take a look at a map where Pahrump is versus where the earthquake occurred, and you'll see it. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. This is Josh Wallace.
Josh?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Elko, Nevada, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just calling about, like, that earthquake thing.
Yes, the earthquake thing.
Yeah, I was down in Las Vegas when that happened.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
In a hotel?
Yes, I was.
Uh-huh. How high up?
Second story, because, like, our high school band was on a trip, and, you know, I went down there, and it was pretty creepy.
It was, I bet, yeah, creepy, right, but imagine being up, like, on 30th or 40th floor of a building.
Yeah, I'm sure that would scare me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, like, bring up a topic of, like, Nostradamus, you know, because didn't he, like, predict that there are going to be three waves before the end of the world or something like that?
Three what?
Waves. Like, the first wave would be, like, worldwide, like, all kinds of earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff like that.
Yes, I believe he did make a prediction of that sort. I'm not sure I specifically remember three waves, but he did talk of a period of the kinds of things that we seem to be having right now. It's written on the wind. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Art. It's Paul in Philadelphia.
Hi, Paul.
So I'm so glad you survived your earthquake.
We did.
Yes.
But believe me, it's indelibly imprinted in my brain forever.
Yeah. It's so, I always find when you describe things, I get a real sense of what they were like. And when you were describing, you know, things waving through.
Oh, yes.
That's for 45 seconds. That would be a long time.
It was a long time.
Boy. I wanted to say that these recent scientific stories are so troubling, you know. They're going to dig down into Antarctica and find something, anything that they could bring out and maybe, you know, maybe it'll harm us and maybe they'll, I just can't
and maybe not. I mean, maybe they'll bring out the cure for cancer, but,
right.
but, you know, no doubt they're going to handle this in a level 4, biohazard lab and whatever it is they get. But I'm not all that confident that somehow if it's really bad, whatever it is, it'll get out.
Yeah, it seems like it might, but then of course they're gonna try to make that supposed mini Big Bang somewhere.
Yes.
And I say, so I just feel like I have just about as much faith in you know, big time scientists as well. I don't have much faith in them. So I was thinking that
how big do you think a mini Big Bang would be? I mean, if the Big Bang created everything that is out to 15 billion years, light years. 15 billion light years. That was the Big Bang. So a mini Big Bang, well, that could be several star systems.
Yeah, right. I don't know. But what I wanted to say is that if they would just create, if I had more faith in scientists, and if I feel like if they would just, do their job right and try to actually cure things and let people have alternative theories without persecuting, people that have them, then there would be some level of faith that one could have in them. But
I actually
read a news story.
Yeah, but people with alternative theories are always going to be persecuted. Always. Well,
I know, but I want them not to be, damn it. Anyway.
Yeah. I want world peace.
That would give me more faith in them, and then they'd be able to defend themselves against things like the young evolutionists that I just read about in the New York Times, you know, the young creationists who say it's only a few thousand years old, the Earth, and it's bothering them. If they'd allow for a little bit more leeway in the scientific community, then they could cause us to have some faith, and then people would calm down.
Yeah, pretty much so. If you were to take a select group from each of the two groups that you just mentioned and lock them in a room together for 24 hours, you'd be hauling dead bodies out on a stretcher.
Well, I hope we all don't all get hauled out on a stretcher while, in that apparent room. Anyway, thanks.
Thank you. Take care, Paul.
You too. Bye. Bye.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. If you and another caller were talking about me a few weeks ago, then you got me confused with someone else because I'm not a sightless person. I have good eyesight, so I'm using the nickname Niagara Mist when I call from now on. So I will no longer be confused with someone else. I have two suggestions. How about you and I be the ones to coin the name Awakening Decade for the coming decade?
Awakening Decade for the coming decade. Well, that's optimistic. That's more optimistic than I might be.
The second, okay, how about another, the second suggestion?
Yes.
Now, I have...
Second of all, we weren't talking about you. We were talking about somebody in Boston.
I am in Boston, east of the Rockies. But
you're in Boston?
I'm calling from Boston, but I have eyesight, so when you referred...
Well, then you're right. There is another fellow in Boston who sounds very much like you.
Okay, so I'm Niagara Mist when I call.
All right.
Now, the second suggestion... Though I don't have a printed degree in learning how to be a dream technician, I have a psychic degree in inventing how to be a dream technician. So if you're concerned about my credentials, if you would have me on as a lucid dream adventurer instead of instructor, very much like the guy with Mal's Hole, he wasn't required to be an expert, you know?
No, so, he wasn't, but, you know, dreaming, that's kind of a different trip. I mean, thank you, but we all dream, lucid or otherwise. We all dream. And so there are experts in dream technology, but I'm not sure that I would make a big show out of somebody who's had a lot of dreams, you know, coming on to tell us about their dreams. Sure, that would make a big show. But you know me, I'll consider anything. Just my off-the-hip reaction. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, Art, I have information on the earthquake that you felt at the beginning of the show.
Oh, really? All I felt was a little tiny shake.
Yeah, it wasn't much. I managed to find it on the Pasadena USGS site. It has a little lag before the information goes on there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But there were two of them. When I was looking at my watch, it looked like it was about 10:12 going into 10:13.
Yeah,
you felt
like
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was one at 10:12:04, and there was one at 10:12:54.
See? I knew it.
So you could have felt both of them, or you could have felt just the last one. But the first one, 10:12:04 seconds at 40 miles east of Barstow.
Oh, yes. That's not far away from me at all.
It's about 117 miles as a crow flies from where you are.
Yeah,
you
there
know?
You are, right.
And it's 3.5 miles depth. And that was 2.4 magnitude, so that was pretty good if you felt that one. And this one, the second one, which was about precisely when you said it on the radio, from what I can figure out, was only 1.9 magnitude. It was it was in the 29 Palms Marine Corps base.
I never should have felt that.
And but it's always possible if you're real still that you can feel something like that.
It's also possible that I'm real paranoid.
Yeah,
but it was the same exact second
as I can figure it out.
I know, I'm telling you. I had my hand on my broadcast table, and I definitely felt movement, period.
Yeah, and the odds of it just being your rear paranoia, I doubt it because, like I say, from what I can figure out, the second one was within about 5 or 6 seconds of when you said it on the radio, I mean, from what I can figure out looking at my watch. So I think you probably felt a smaller one, which is quite amazing. And
well, I don't want any more big ones. Not at all, ever. Not like that.
And when I used to live in southeastern Alaska, we didn't get very many earthquakes there. The other part I did, but in Anchorage we did. But in southeastern Alaska, we would get little ones that would be 2, 2.5 like that.
Sure.
And usually you wouldn't even feel it unless you happened to be up in a, you know, like a 10-story building.
That's right. No, I know. I lived in Anchorage, too, for 3 years.
But in Anchorage, I felt them.
I felt them there. I felt them in Japan. But none of them ever scared me as much as this one.
I felt one in Anchorage that was about, I can guesstimate it fairly good because I was in about 40 or 50, you know, small ones in Anchorage, enough though where you could feel them.
Sure.
So I got to the point where I could estimate them. And it was about 5.5, but it went on for 45 seconds.
Mm.
And it was very shallow, so it really felt like an earthquake, and it just went on and on and on. And you know, a lot of these real deadly ones go on for 45 seconds. So
I remember always waiting. Of course, I was in radio in Anchorage at KENI,
yeah,
which is my affiliate up there now. And we always were immediately on the phone to the Palmer Observatory.
Yeah.
Remember that? They'd always,
yeah,
tell us what the magnitude was.
Yeah, and I used to listen to you back when it was easy to get on. And back when you were mostly political in those days.
Well, listen. I'll tell you what. I'm sure at the end of my rope on that. I look at the coming political race, and I am so uninspired.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. Listen, if the show's over, tell everybody, you know.
Hey, good night, Karen and Alan in Anchorage, by the way, while I'm saying this. And good night, America.
That's the way to do it. Indeed. I'm Art Bell from the high, shaky American Southwest, high desert, Night Hall.